Right now, the most powerful AI models on Earth are, well, they're essentially trapped. Like, if you build a massive brain in PyTorch, it speaks PyTorch. Try moving it natively to another system, and it just shatters.
Yeah, I mean, it breaks completely.
Exactly. But today, we are taking you on a deep dive into an architecture that actually absorbs these brains live, like in memory, without losing a single decimal point. We are talking about the Loom V0.80 native chip architecture. Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to figure out how this pure Go engine with zero C or C++ dependencies is breaking AI vendor lock-in.
Right. It's what they call the hub and planets concept.
Yeah, so instead of being stranded on an isolated planet like JAX or TensorFlow, Loom acts as this universal bidirectional hub.
And to actually function as a hub,
Fair.
I mean, it has to ingest these massive foreign models flawlessly. What's fascinating here is their planet bridging framework.
Planet bridging, right.
Yeah, so it autonomously streams live, in-memory weights, directly from engines like PyTorch straight into Loom. They actually ran these foundational tests called bedrocks to prove it works. And on the embedding layers, they achieved exact mathematical zero parity, like not a single rounding error.
Wait, hold on. If we're pulling a model from PyTorch into Loom, isn't this really just a fancy file converter?
Well, no, not exactly.
Because usually converting a complex architecture is, I mean, it's like running a poem through Google Translate, right?
Yeah.
You keep the basic words, but you completely lose the original rhythm and nuance.
Right, and that's exactly the problem with standard conversion. That is why Loom just avoids translation entirely.
Oh, it skips it.
Mathematically, yeah, it acts way more like a perfect voice clone.
Oh, so it just captures the live state.
Exactly,
Yeah.
because it's capturing the live in-memory state of the weights rather than reading a static translated file. It perfectly clones the author's exact original tone and structure. It doesn't lose a single syllable of data.
Wow. Okay, but once you've identically cloned that massive model inside Loom, I mean, you still have to process its immense computational weight. And here's where it gets really interesting. Loom manages this compute using the MPLE VTD engine.
Which is incredibly dynamic.
Yeah, it fluidly morphs across 21 different numerical data types at runtime.
21 types.
Yeah, exactly. It's like having a construction crew where some workers are using heavy machinery for the big stuff, like Float 32, while others are using tiny tweezers, maybe 1-bit binary, all working on the exact same project simultaneously.
Right. And that dynamic routing is exactly how Loom shatters that 192 gigabytes per second memory bandwidth wall.
Which usually like completely chokes large AI models on consumer hardware, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But here we're looking at up to a 98.4% reduction in memory footprint.
That is massive.
It's crazy. To achieve this, they use Q40 block formats.
Okay, how does that work?
So instead of saving every single number at full size, Q40 finds the average in these tiny neighborhoods of 32 weights
Yeah.
and just saves the deviations.
Right, kind of like mapping a mountain by just marking the peak and then
Oh.
only measuring the small bumps around it.
That is a great way to put it. It preserves mathematical accuracy locally, but drastically shrinks the data size.
But wait, how do you actually save a file that is dynamically shifting its precision every nanosecond? I mean, standard file formats can't possibly handle that kind of multi-precision chaos.
They really can't. Legacy formats like Hugging Face's safe tensors, well, they're essentially just flat dictionaries.
Right.
They rely on Base64 string text parsing.
Meaning the system wastes all this crucial time reading numbers as blotted text characters.
Exactly. So Loom had to introduce a brand new binary format called Entity.
Okay.
It completely bypasses that text translation step and reads pure binary math natively.
Which is huge. That alone reduces file sizes by 27.6%, right?
Yeah, but more importantly, Entity actually embeds the full 3D volumetric routing directly into the file.
Right. And because Entity stops storing models as flat lines of text and instead saves the actual physical routing of the data, the model ceases to be a 2D document.
It becomes a malleable 3D structure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This leads to what they call the 3D unlock. You aren't just reading a rigid file anymore.
Right.
Researchers can literally snap new parallel branches onto the live model, like grafting a new branch onto a tree trunk while it's actually running.
Right. You're turning a static mathematical formula into this living structural software object that could be physically rewired on the fly.
So what does this all mean? Like, why should you care about pure Go engines and entity formats?
Well, I mean, it's about hardware freedom, really.
Yes, because Loom enables true hardware determinism. It means you can run these highly complex 3D AI models seamlessly on anything.
Even a smartphone.
Exactly. From an Apple silicon chip to a tiny power-constrained edge device, all without needing proprietary vendor software. You are finally out of the walled garden.
The hardware no longer dictates the intelligence. It just completely democratizes deployment.
But there is one final detail in our sources that builds on this living 3D structure idea. Loom actually features an internal DNA engine and something called NEAT.
Right, the neuroevolution of augmenting topologies.
Exactly. The system continuously evaluates neural pathways using fitness scores. It basically asks, did this specific branch solve the problem efficiently?
And if it did?
The engine automatically mutates the topology, genetically splicing the winning logic into a brand new network structure.
Which is honestly pretty wild to think
about. It really is, which leaves you with this to mull over. If this system can autonomously grade, mutate, and splice 3D neural pathways based on survival fitness, are we shifting from merely training AI to autonomously breeding it?